Okay, I'm going to call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that the time is currently 5:09 p.m. on Thursday, April 12th, 2018. Present today, we have Representative Pruitt, Representative Kawasaki, Representative Wilson, Vice Chair Guerra, Co-Chair Seaton, Representative Tilton, Representative Grin, Representative Guttenberg, Representative Thompson, myself, Co-Chair Foster. Folks could mute their cell phones. On tonight's schedule, we will continue with HB 411, which is the oil and gas production tax payments credits. The plan is to have public testimony on HB 411 first to allow the public an opportunity to testify and for the LIOs to be able to close. And then, time permitting, afterwards, we will finish with the walkthrough of the bill sectional. And since we will have to go back to the floor at 6:30 tonight, I'd like to let the public know that if necessary, we will get through as many public testifiers as possible tonight. And then if needed, we will keep public testimony open and resume public testimony tomorrow, Friday, April 12th, at our scheduled 1:30 p.m. meeting. And so only if that is necessary. So for members, if we don't get through the sectional, we will also finish the walkthrough of HB 411 at that same meeting tomorrow to provide members plenty of time for amendments for HB 411. We'll set the deadline for 5 p.m. Day after tomorrow, which is Saturday, April 14th. And please provide them to my office staff, Brody Anderson. So at this time, we will open up public testimony on HB 411, oil and gas production tax payments and credits. And so I will do the formal gaveling in on that. And just so folks know, they may also submit written testimony to housefinance@akleg.gov. Again, you can email your public testimony to housefinance@akleg.gov. And so with that, as much as possible, I am going to try and take folks in the order in which they signed up. And so with that, I'm going to first start. We've got the Offnets, the Anchorage LIO, and the Mat-Su LIO. So we will first go to the Mat-Su LIO and then the Anchorage LIO. Earl Lackey, if you're there, calling in from the Mat-Su LIO, if you could put yourself on the record. And your name, your affiliation, and if you could, and we will have testimony for 2 minutes for each testifier, just to make sure we give everybody enough time. With that, Mr. Lackey.
Yes, I'm Earl Lackey. I represent myself, and I'm the owner of Alaska Raceway Park, so that would be represented underneath there as well. My big concern with this bill is we have the last couple of years now with the bill that has been there with the laws that we've had in place. We've managed to increase production up on the slope. The oil and the research for more oil has been growing and getting better every year. And it just doesn't make sense to me to go ahead at this time and change that and put a hurt to the oil company. I think this is something that very well could be of advantage as we get further down the road. But right now, I think we need to keep our oil tax the way it is for a couple more years at least to make sure the oil companies have some stability and are willing to continue their research, especially with a possibility of opening Anwar and that sort of stuff that we've got going up there right now. That's all I really have to say at this point. I would just appreciate a no vote on this. We'd like to keep it in our going in the right direction the way it is now and get some money into the state. Thank you. Appreciate taking the time and working with us and taking comments.
Great, Mr. Lack. Thank you very much for stopping into the LIO there and calling in. Do we have any questions from the committee? Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. So, Mr. Lackey, it sounds like you, and do you feel this way? Do you feel like this is a jobs-killing bill?
I believe it is. I think with the amount of jobs that we are now starting to create up on the slope, if we go through with this, the oil companies are just, you know, every time they start making a couple of dollars and start investing, we change the tax laws on them again. So I think we're definitely going to lose jobs by quite a bit if we continue with this.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've got another question from Representative Tilton.
Hi, Earl. This is Kathy Tilton. I just wanted to say thank you for taking time out of your schedule to go to the LIO and testify on this bill.
Well, thank you, Representative Tilton. We appreciate the amount of work that you do down there representing our valley up here. Thank you.
And any further questions? I don't see any. So thank you for your testimony, Mr. Lackey. Next, there at the Imetsu LIO, we have Garvin Bakaria. If you could state your name and your affiliation for the record and proceed with your two-minute testimony.
My name is Garvin Bukaria. I'm a resident of Wasilla. I speak for myself and perhaps the others who couldn't be here. I want to clear that I'm opposed to House Bill 411. With the continued downturn in our economy and the pattern of increased state budgets, this is no time to penalize the oil industry, our largest source of state revenue. We need stability and predictability in state tax policy to encourage continued investment by both large and small oil producers. The benefits of SB 21 rejuvenated oil production and exploration on the North Slope so that producers have increased pipeline flow, stabilize throughput to Valdez and West Coast refiners, let private enterprise enjoy the benefits of reduced federal taxes that incentivizes present and future investment and increase long-term production. I understand that in the last 12 years, we've changed tax policy in this state 9 times. This is poor policy. This is the wrong time when our economy is down to further restrict oil development. That's our ace in the hole. We should be maximizing production, and this House Bill 411 certainly will have a negative short and long term effect upon the industry and ultimately in our state revenue. I understand from listening to the testimony last evening that the improved efficiency and new technology is an industry-independent aspect. However, policy is strictly state-controlled by you folks in the legislature. I don't think it's time to increase taxes on the oil industry, so I am definitely against House Bill 411 and hope you folks will realize that it's not the time to kill the goose that laid the golden egg. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bukaria. And are there any questions from the committee? I don't see any questions, so thank you for stopping in there and providing your testimony. We're going to move over to the Anchorage LIO. Ben Mulligan with the Alaska Chamber in Anchorage there, if you could state your name and affiliation just for the record there and proceed with your two-minute testimony.
Thank you, Co-Chair. For the record, my name is Ben Mulligan, and I serve as the Vice President of the Alaska Chamber. The Alaska Chamber opposes House Bill 411. This bill would mark the 8th change in the last 13 years to tax policy in the state. These constant changes create an unstable business climate that discourages companies from doing business and investors to invest in those companies. What we need right now is a stable tax policy so that those companies and their investors have the confidence to move forward with projects and investments. As you are all probably already aware, we have some significant projects on the horizon. With the passage of House Bill 411, it would put these projects into jeopardy and risk halting this new momentum that we're seeing. The Alaska Chamber believes we should be encouraging companies so that we can increase production, fill the pipeline, and create new jobs and wealth for the state and Alaskans. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mulligan. We have a question from Representative Guerra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mulligan, I know you're knowledgeable, and I'm glad to hear you're working with the chamber. So the bill proposes a pretty modest 25% tax just on companies that make profits, so 25% of profits. Currently, most fields are either under what's called the new oil tax rate, which can be as low as 0% in production taxes. The bigger fields are either at the 4% minimum tax rate or not much higher than that. You feel that with the fiscal crisis that we have right now, just individuals have to fill it, and that the oil industry shouldn't chip in at all to raise some of those very low tax rates?
Through the chair, Representative, that's part of a larger play, and you, I can send you our priorities, but it's given out since at the beginning of the year. Right now, we believe that the fiscal situation we're at isn't made any better at the size of the operating budget as it is. And I can send this to you. We've gone on record as saying that we would like to see an operating budget of 4.5. And so right now, that's even more. So we're looking at, you're saying that we should look at taxes because you're looking at a state spending level right now. We'd first like to see a little bit more decrease, then the possibility of earnings reserve restructuring, similar to the OMB, and then we could look at broad-based taxes. So we feel that we're not there yet.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you. I get we've heard that that this is a large tax increase, but when your tax rate is almost nothing, anything is a large tax increase. You've mentioned budget cuts, and the chamber folks have been in my office asking for them, but they haven't identified any. So I'm just wondering whether those additional cuts after $3.5 billion of cuts in the last 6 years, whether those should be more cuts to education or the university, or what is it that you'd like to see cut when we also have almost no capital budget in the state?
Through the chair, Representative Guerra. One thing that comes to mind is, you know, it's not only cuts, it's efficiencies that will lower the budget. And the first thing that comes to mind, and one that I know my boss has spoken about, is consolidated healthcare plans. Once you do that, it's averaged to save hundreds of millions of dollars over the next 6 or 7 years. So it's not just saying, hey, I want to cut. It's finding these efficiencies in state government that could lead to a lowering of the budget.
Thank you.
Representative Wilson. I think Representative Seaton would like something repeated. Representative Seaton.
Thank you. I there was a glitch in the phone there. What did you say you thought we ought to cut or do the efficiency on what area?
Through the chair, I didn't mention a cut. I mentioned the consolidation of health care plans.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Wilson.
So, Mr. Chairman, I have a question first. So is this hearing so we can talk about all the budget, or is it on HB 411, just so that I'm clear?
It is on HB 411, and so I would ask members if we could please try to confine as much as possible our
I appreciate that clarification.
To the bill. Thank you.
And I will do that.
Mr. Chair.
So I'm not done.
Oh, sorry. I don't want to interrupt.
Thank you. So. Sorry, it's the North Pole enemy. Okay, so, Mr. Mulligan, on HB 411, and you've been watching pretty close as the chamber, and I know you had priorities when you came around. The increase of oil in the line versus the decrease that we thought we were going to have, what do you see if HB 411 is passed will happen with jobs and investment that is currently going into the projects on the North Slope?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, I think the gentleman from industry said it best. At first, you'll see some immediate effects as far as state revenue, but then you'll see the oil companies having to make some long-term decisions based on this new world that they'll see. And so as you come out in the months after this, is, if it's implemented, you'll see them making choices that will lead to, you know, less jobs, less investment. So you're not going to see as much exploration. You won't see as much production happening. And as you know, you've seen through the news just between oil prices and everything else that's happened to them, we've had rigs laid down. So that could be a possibility.
And a follow-up, Mr. Chairman?
Follow-up.
And with a slowdown on the North Slope, how would that affect your fellow businesses that are part of the chamber?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, it affects them greatly. As you know, there's a multiplier effect to the money that is or isn't spent from the oil industry. So I think it's one oil industry job equals 20. So a lot of our members, you know, actually very small, under 50, really feel that crunch because all of a sudden you have people who have lost their job who are, I mean, those are six-figure jobs. An example is, and I will apologize for using it, is a restaurant I know on the south side immediately saw that when those guys started losing their jobs and either were moving away or having to tighten their belts. I mean, those restaurants saw a real decrease in their businesses.
And finally, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Wilson.
And so with the passage of 411, what do you think would happen with the length of the recession that we're currently going through? Would it shorten it, or would it become more lengthy and possibly more painful?
I think you'd see it prolonged through the chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Your Representative Pruitt.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I can't let something be said that's not true. First, only GVR eligible and new, 6%. I think we had a statement that said that most of the new fields up there are under the new. That was a statement that was just made. I think it's inappropriate to say that something's taking place that is not taking place. I would also highlight that they're not at 4% right now because the value of oil, barrel of oil, is at the point where they are not paying that 4% minimum, as well as I think even with the spring forecast for FY19, $410 million worth of production tax forecast, and that's at a lower amount of oil than we're currently sitting at. That's not nothing. That is a tax. And so, Mr. Chair, I think it's inappropriate to try to use a someone who is testifying to get a message and get our rhetoric out. We should be clear and correct in what we're saying, and we should not use people who are testifying to try to make a point, especially when the point is not true.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pruitt, I'm going to agree and ask the committee that we try to refrain from debate during public testimony. And I understand if there needs to be questions asked of testifiers to clarify positions, but I would ask that we try not to make any leading statements or debate during public testimony. So with that, Representative Guerra.
Yeah, I'm not going to debate Representative Pruitt. He just misstated almost everything I said in order to say that it was inaccurate, and I hope you would not do that anymore. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I did not misstate, and I will make that very clear. I did not misstate. You misstated, and I was making sure to correct that.
Thank you. With that, we'll move to our next testifier, Carl Portman at the Anchorage LIO. If you could put your name and your affiliation on the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good evening. My name is Carl Portman, and I am a lifelong Alaskan raised in the interior, and I currently live in Anchorage. I am speaking on my own behalf this evening. Like many other Alaskans, I'm very concerned about our economy and ongoing budget deficit. I believe that the best way to generate new revenues for the state is to increase oil production and throughput in caps. Of course, in order to increase production, we must first attract the investment required to develop new projects and prospects. However, we have to compete for that investment against lower-cost projects elsewhere. I strongly oppose House Bill 411 because it takes Alaska in the wrong direction by weakening Alaska's competitive position. It may generate more revenue for the state in the short term, but at what cost? Over the long term, I fear the outcome of this bill will be to have less investment, less production, less revenue, and fewer jobs for Alaskans. I just don't see how House Bill 411 will encourage industry investment in promising but high-cost projects here that have the potential to move the needle in CAP's throughput. Alaska could be on the cusp of an oil renaissance on the North Slope. We have the resources in place to grow production, increase CAP's throughput, and grow the state revenue stream. What we need now is the new industry investment to make this all happen. In closing, in a column in yesterday in today's Anchorage Daily News, highly respected Alaska business reporter Tim Bradner noted it may take $13 billion in new investment to bring on major new projects on the slope that could produce a combined 400,000 barrels of oil per day. He ended the column, and I quote, "However, Alaskans are prone to shoot themselves in the foot sometimes," end quote, noting the proposals in the legislature to raise taxes on the industry. I would like to thank the committee members for their service, and I appreciate the opportunity to express my opinion on this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Portman. Does the committee have any questions? I don't see any questions, so thank you for calling in. Next up at the Anchorage LIO there is Mike Satry with the Alaska Miners Association. If you could also just put yourself on the record and proceed with your two-minute testimony.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair Foster. Good evening, members of the House Finance Committee. My name is Mike Satry. I'm a resident of Juneau, Alaska. Unfortunately, I am not in our fair capital city today, so I appreciate the opportunity to testify from the Anchorage LIO. I am here tonight in my capacity as the board president of the Alaska Miners Association. The AMA is a nonprofit membership organization established in 1939 to represent the mining industry throughout Alaska. We have a diverse membership composed of more than 1,500 members that come from 8 statewide branches. These members include prospectors, geologists, engineers, suction dredge miners, small family mines, junior mining companies, and major mining companies. We are also proud to support and have as our members many oil and gas service companies that service both the oil and gas industry and the mining industry. It is the policy of the Alaska Miners Association to encourage the state to maintain an equitable and stable tax and royalty structure on state-owned resources and to support measures to continue the trend in increased investment and increased oil production. House Bill 411 does not do this. Alaska requires a stable tax regime to stay competitive on a global basis, but HB 411 moves us in the wrong direction. This bill will do nothing to encourage future production. It will make Alaska less competitive with other oil and gas jurisdictions by raising costs in an already high-cost Arctic environment, creating more harm to Alaska's economy. We simply can't afford this. I urge the House Finance Committee to reject House Bill 411, and I appreciate your consideration this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Satry. Any questions from the committee? I don't see any, so we will move over to the next person, Marliana Hall. If you could also put yourself on the record and proceed with your two-minute testimony.
Hi, good evening. My name is Marliana Hall. I am the Executive Director for the Resource Development Council for Alaska. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. In brief, RDC is a statewide trade association comprised of individuals and companies from Alaska's oil and gas, mining, forest products, fisheries, and tourism industries, as well as the 12 land-owning Alaska Native corporations. My members are truly the lifeblood of Alaska's economy. We believe the best approach to expand the economy and generate new revenues for the state is to produce more oil, attract more tourists, harvest more fish and timber, and mine more minerals. With regard to House Bill 411, the new oil production tax proposal would be the third straight year of increasing oil and gas production taxes. By increasing taxes, HB 411 will increase costs and reduce Alaska's competitiveness for attracting the investment necessary to move forward with promising new projects on the North Slope that have the potential to move the needle in our oil production. Increased throughput in the Trans-Alaska pipeline system from these projects would help pull Alaska out of the recession that was discussed earlier and generate more revenues than the revenues that would be raised from this House bill. When crafting legislation, I cannot overstate how important it is for the legislature to consider the impact on Alaska's competitiveness and future production. oil and gas companies here must consistently compete for capital dollars within their global portfolio of assets and investment dollars. They are working hard to reduce costs in Alaska's high-cost environment. However, HB 411 will make their projects more costly and less attractive. We need to incentivize the industry to drill more, create more wealth, create more activity, and aim for next year's production to be even higher than this year's production. SB 21 that was passed in 2013 and was reaffirmed by Alaskans in 2014 has brought new exploration, jobs, and continued investment to the state. Thank you for the opportunity to offer RDC's perspective today, and I urge you to reject this legislation.
Thank you, Ms. Hall. Do we have any questions from the committee? I don't see any questions, so thank you for showing up to the Anchorage LIO there. Next up, we have Ms. Sarah Erkman Ward. If you could also put yourself on the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good evening, and thank you. Co-Chair Foster, members of House Finance, thank you for the opportunity to testify this evening. My name is Sarah Erkman Ward, a lifelong Alaskan with deep roots in our state. I am testifying tonight for myself as a new small business owner who is very much opposed to HB 411. My reason for opposing this ill-advised, ill-timed piece of legislation is very simple. Proposing to overhaul the state's oil and gas tax policy yet again in the waning hours of the 90-day legislative session and for the eighth time in 13 years is bad public policy. Changing oil taxes should not be an annual exercise. We Alaskans rely on oil and gas companies for continuous investment in our state to keep our economy moving. I cannot understand why some members of the Alaska legislature cannot grasp how harmful it is to keep moving the goalposts year after year. You know who loses under this scenario? We Alaskans, those of us who want to live and raise our families here, start businesses, and contribute to our communities. Continually injecting instability into our state's most important industry is self-defeating and ultimately hurts average, hardworking Alaskans. In summary, I oppose House Bill 411 and encourage you to set it aside and please give oil tax policy a rest, during which time Alaska can set about repairing its reputation as an unreliable business partner within the global investment community. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Ward. Do we have any questions from the committee? I don't see any, so thank you for your testimony. Next up, Gail Phillips, former member of the legislature here. Welcome, and if you could put yourself on the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Mr. Co-Chairman and members of the House Finance Committee. My name is Gail Phillips. I'm speaking as a concerned citizen of Alaska and a former member of this body. HB 411 was just introduced and is another last-minute attempt to change our oil tax regime, and I'm very opposed to this. Enough is enough. A piece of legislation this important should be thoroughly vetted through the House Resources Committee and Commerce Committees, not just one referral to Finance. I've been in your shoes, and I know how much disruption a major policy change bill like this can cause during the last few days of session. You have so few days left to do the state's business. It's hard to understand why you would want to go through all the hurdles of trying to get this bill passed when it is extremely unlikely that it would even get a hearing in the Senate. Why put your colleagues in the unenviable position of having to vote for something they know will take up so much valuable floor time and not go anywhere? I urge you to set this bill aside and instead work on the critical legislation needed to get you to a productive end of session. Thank you for this opportunity to share my opinion.
Thank you, Ms. Phillips. We have a question from Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Ms. Phillips, for being here. And I know you have a lot more experience than I do. Why would you put it through more committees than just finance?
Why would I put it to more committees than finance?
Yes.
A bill of this major change in our oil tax policy should be looked at by as many people as can be looked at and have as much opportunity for Alaskans to weigh in on the bill than just one committee.
I completely agree. Thank you.
And do we have any further questions of the committee? I don't see any. So with that, thank you, Ms. Phillips. The last person I have here on the list for the Anchorage LIO is Keith Silver. If you could put your name and your affiliation on the record and proceed with your two-minute testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Keith Silver. I'm testifying on behalf of myself. I'm speaking in opposition to House Bill 411. I didn't prepare anything, mainly because everybody here before has already said what really needed to be said. However, I am a victim of ACEs, a previously passed attack. I lost my job due to ACEs and had to reinvent myself into a different industry, which had roughly 50% of the pay that I was making in the oil industry. And there will be a lot more victims of tax, the new tax, if something like this is passed. If 25% increase in tax is something you'd like to do, then I recommend that those that are in favor of that increase their federal tax by 25%, just send a check to the government. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Mr. Silver? I don't see any, so thank you for coming to the LIO there, Mr. Silver. Let's go over to the off-nets. We have three people on the off-nets, and then we have three people in the, here in the Juneau, in the room here in Juneau. So with that, let us go first to Aves Thompson. If you could put yourself on the record, your name, your affiliation, and proceed with your two-minute testimony.
Thank you, Chairman Foster, co-chairs, and member of the committee. I'm Aves Thompson, Executive Director of the Alaska Trucking Association. The Alaska Trucking Association is a statewide organization representing the interests of our nearly 200 member companies from Barrow to Ketchikan. Freight movement is an essential element of our economy and impacts all of us each and every day. With days remaining in the 90-day regular legislative session, a bill, House Bill 411, is introduced that proposes yet another tax increase on the oil industry that will triple oil production taxes by increasing the production tax by an estimated $778 million this coming fiscal year. Over the past few years, the oil industry has adjusted to the dramatic decrease in oil prices by reducing their costs and becoming more efficient to try to keep their heads above water. During that downturn, they continued to pay taxes in the forms of royalties, property tax, and a gross production tax. They are beginning to rebound from this serious downturn, and this is not the time to penalize them further by increasing taxes. The ramp up in North Slope production and activity demonstrates the current fiscal system is working. Oil tax reform made Alaska more competitive and a more attractive place to invest. Investment is up and production is stable compared to a 4 to 8% annual decline under the previous fiscal system. HB 411 will further highlight Alaska's poor reputation in the oil and financial sectors, potentially jeopardizing the new investment necessary to bring on new production. The 2018 oil tax policy proposal represents the eighth major tax change in the last 13 years. House Bill 411 will do nothing to encourage further production, nor does it provide any new jobs for the trucking industry or for truck drivers. It will make Alaska less competitive with other oil and gas jurisdictions by raising costs in an already high-cost Arctic environment, creating more harm to Alaska's largest industry and the state's economy. In the interest of time, let me sum up by saying the Alaska Trucking Association is opposed to House Bill 411. Please give the oil industry time to continue their rebound by making further investments that will be unlikely with another tax increase. Thank you, members of the committee and Mr. and co-chairs.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. We have a question from Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes. So besides no new jobs that you said, what other kind of impact would it have to the trucking industry?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, there's no freight to haul. I mean, that's the primary problem. We have trucks that are parked. Fuel usage is down, as we all know. Thousands, if not millions, of gallons of ultra low sulfur diesel are trucked to the North Slope every year by the trucking industry, and it's just the downturn has an impact on sizes of companies. It causes employees to be laid off or put on seasonal basis. There's all kinds of impacts.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for what you do for our trucking association.
And are there any other questions of the committee? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Thompson. Next up on the off-net, Ross Beeling. If you could put your name, your affiliation on the record, proceed with your two-minute testimony.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Ross Beeling, for speaking myself and fellow Athens. With all due respect to the chair and to the other members, our problem is not that we need to get higher taxes. The problem is we have 22% to 23% flow through tax. Here we are on one hand, trying to settle tax credits, and on the other hand, trying to take the money back again through this proposed tax through HB 411. I would rather we look at, for example, Armstrong, for example, which is sold out, I think, to Repsol. But that's a heck of a nice oil fight up there at Pinto, 80 miles from Trudeau. Why don't we go ahead and through ADA, bond Fur Road, get that pipeline going 80 miles over to Prudhoe, and looking to increase oil production. And the other side of this, when it comes to royalties, I even propose for the folks at PICA to go ahead and give them a tax-free royalty holiday.
Mr. Beeling, I'm sorry, Mr. Beeling, if you could get a little bit closer to the microphone, it's a little bit hard to hear you.
I'm on a cell phone, my apologies. I'd rather see us give the folks a tax-free holiday on the royalty until the oil production is equal to that which we owe them in terms of on the tax credits. And so the incentive is for them to drill for volume of oil, put it in the pipeline, and get over to Prudhoe. And we're doing everything to stymie production. I think it's probably time to get back to looking at how we can stimulate more production. That's our problem. We can't pay our bills at 22% flow through tax. And the amount of chemicals we're using, the EIS, would be a cause of problem for us if we don't get more oil in the pipeline. And HB 411 is not the way to get them. Thank you for that fantastic time.
Thank you. Mr. Beeling, if possible, it was a little bit hard to hear you. I think we got a good portion of that, but if you wouldn't mind, if you could maybe send in something written as well, it's purely up to you, but Representative Wilson has a question.
We just want to verify something. Are you supporting the bill or opposing the bill?
I'm opposed to the bill only because it takes away from production. I am all for the common sense approach to getting PEAK online, and I mentioned earlier, if you could hear it, about ADA, getting involved in a road, bonding for the road, and we get a tariff down the road for the oil, bring that online as soon as we can. It's going to be 3 to 4 years on that. But the volume of oil alone would be one heck of a change. And instead of paying oil tax credits through bonds, why not just, as I said, give them the royalty, let them produce the volume of oil and the royalty basically until they've paid off the royalty through oil. And so that's the key, is to get more oil in the pipeline.
Perfect. Thank you. That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure it was on record.
Thank you, Mr. Beeling. And for anybody who may be watching on TV or listening in, if you would like to submit written testimony, you can do so by emailing us at housefinance@akleg.gov. And so with that, no questions, we will go over to Lauren Means. If you could put your name, your affiliation on the record and proceed with your two-minute testimony.
Yep, Lauren Means, Wasilla, Alaska, 21-year resident. I stand opposed to House Bill 411. I think it's not very well thought out or planned, and you know, I don't, in the almost 3 hours of testimony that I've watched on television, I don't remember seeing anything that was positive about HB 411. I think back on SB 21 and the great amount of work that went into making that something that the industry could work with, that the legislature could work with, and became law. And I think it's good law. It's accepted by industry. Industry is going forward, investing and prospering. The state has a spending problem, and you know it's through a majority that believes spending has to happen versus cuts like independent businesses have to make and have made all over the state and in the North Slope Borough. So, yeah, I don't think it's a good time, and I don't think it's well thought out. I don't think the AOGA was considered in the testimony that I saw. They were pretty upset. It seemed like that the Finance Committee didn't take into consideration any of their thoughts really prior to bringing this to the committee. It blindsides the industry. And so pretty much in closing, you know, on an elementary scale level, so I can easily maybe say it and it can easily be understood, I think the golden goose of oil has wandered into this committee, and the co-chairs have their hands wrapped around the neck of this goose. And, you know, when a goose is under stress, it doesn't lay good eggs. And I think, you know, if the co-chairs would just kill this bill right in committee and move on to legislation that needs to get done for the people of the state, I think we'll all prosper. And it's in your good hands, and I hope that you make good decisions going forward. And a good decision would be to kill HB 411. You know, I listened to comments from Legislator Guerra, and it, yesterday evening it was about a $700 million expenditure or something, and the first thing that came to mind was, you know, it could be $200 million if it wasn't for a vitamin D study that one of the co-chairs is sponsored and looks like it's moving forward. It's like we have to get a handle on spending. So thank you for the opportunity to speak. I, as a small business owner, you know, contemplate investing as much as $500,000 in my business and property and investing in Wasilla. There's a lot of empty buildings here. There's a lot of empty rental places, a lot of homes for sale. I'm not exceptional, but, you know, people are nervous about what goes on in committees like this when they start to threaten, if you will, the industry that truly supports Alaska. And always remember, too, in these committees that the monies that get taxed from the oil industry don't come to us, the people. It comes to you, the state.
Mr. Means, I'm sorry. Could you please wrap up?
I'm sorry?
Oh, I'm sorry. We reached the two-minute mark a little while ago. I'm just asking if you could please wrap up.
I will. But please don't support HB 411. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Means. Does the committee have any questions? I don't see any questions. We're going to move to the room here. We have three people who would like to testify. Bill Corbis, if you could come up and put yourself on the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good evening. Co-Chairman Foster, members of the Finance Committee. My name is Bill Corbis, Juneau resident, former Commissioner of Revenue. I'm here today to offer brief comments on behalf of Keep Alaska Competitive on HB 411. Just as a reminder that Keep is a broad-based organization of individual businesses and other organizations who support a stable petroleum tax regime. It does not have any oil company members nor oil company financial support. As both other KEEP members and I personally have testified on numerous occasions during the past 2 years on the topic of oil tax increase, it will be no surprise to the committee that KEEP strongly opposes HB 411. HB 411 makes fundamental changes to the provision enacted in SB 21. In the aftermath of SB 21, the oil industry continued to invest in Alaska even when oil prices dipped below $30 per barrel, and during the ensuing period when they were losing money on each barrel of oil produce here as a result of new investment, the industry slightly increased production when it was otherwise expected to decline, and they also discovered new oil with significant reserves. By removing the per barrel credits and imposing new 5% tax brackets on oil between $40 and $60 per barrel, the bill would likely add approximately $750 million in annual taxes to the oil industry at the most likely range of oil prices. Continued attempts to raise taxes now that the oil is modestly profitable in some fields and still unprofitable in others at current prices only discourages the behavior that we think the state should continue to support. Raising the break-even economic threshold to encourage development in the new fields, in our view, does not make sense. The per barrel credits in SB 21 were essentially a math exercise to produce an appropriate and a reasonable revenue split between state and the industry. Keep believed then and continues to believe that it strikes the right balance. HB 411 tips that balance in the wrong direction and jeopardizes future investment, jobs, and state revenues. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Corbis. Do we have any questions from the committee? I'm not seeing any, so thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks. Next up, we have Chris Gerrandale, I believe. And if you could put yourself on the record.
Thank you. Chris Gerrandale of Juneau, Alaska, is born and raised in Anchorage. I work with Construction Machinery Industrial. We have five branches. We have four branches in Fairbanks, Anchorage, Juneau, and Ketchikan. I work most closely with the Juneau and Ketchikan branches. I oppose HB 411 because of how I've seen taxes impact our business in Juneau and Ketchikan. Our Ketchikan facility in particular has had to open and close a couple of times over the last 15 years. The increase in oil taxes from 2008 can be attributed to the increased corporate allocation Ketchikan received, and that was a factor in the financial viability of the Ketchikan facility. The legislation of 2008 caused a slowdown in our Anchorage facility that supports the North Slope and meant that the corporate allocation was reduced in Anchorage and our other branches' allocation increased. While I'm not saying that increase in allocation was the only reason for the shutdown in Ketchikan, it did have an effect on the branch. Right now, our Ketchikan and Juneau branches are both doing well, and we are looking at expansions in both branches. But another round of reduced revenue in our Anchorage facility and increased allocation could stop the growth in Juneau and cause us to evaluate other measures in Ketchikan. For this reason, I'm asking you to oppose HB 411. I realize I'm not here for HB 331, but I also ask you to support that for the same reasons. Thank you.
Get it in when you can.
Thank you, Mr. Gerrandale. And are there any questions from the committee? I don't see any questions, so thanks for coming in. Our next testifier is Barbara Huff-Tuckness. If you could put yourself on the record.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Barbara Huff-Tuckness. I'm the Director of Governmental and Legislative Affairs for Teamsters Local 959, and on behalf of the 7,000 members that we represent, not only folks that work on the slope, but throughout the state of Alaska, whether it's our UPS drivers, Ketchikan, Homer, Anchorage, around Fairbanks, around the state, we feel that the introduction of House Bill 411 is, while in the short term may be a good idea for the state budget, in the long term it's going to be devastating not only for the state budget, but from our perspective, killing a lot of other jobs out there. And for that reason, we're going on record opposed to this particular bill and ask that you not support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Huff-Tuckness. And are there any questions of the committee? And I don't see any, so thank you for your testimony. The last person I have on the list here is Mr. Jeremy Price. If you could put yourself on the record and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Jeremy Price. I'm the Alaska State Director of Americans for Prosperity, and AFP is a 501c4 advocacy group, and we typically advocate for lowering regulations, creating better opportunities for small businesses and for people to get a job, keeping regulatory frameworks, providing certainty for private business, things of that nature. We rise in opposition to this bill. Yesterday I testified in support of hairdressers, and earlier today I was fighting for massage therapists. For us, it doesn't matter if you're a massage therapist or you're an oil field worker. We support jobs. We support creating a climate where you can get a job and keep that job. That's through keeping regulations to a minimum as much as possible and providing a level of certainty for the private sector. I've got three kids myself. I'm from Salch, Alaska, outside of Fairbanks. I hope to provide a better future for my kids, and this bill doesn't do that. If you look at the BLS statistics, Bureau of Labor Statistics puts Alaska with the highest unemployment rate in the country. As of February 2018, the unemployment rate was 7.3%. And if you look at the Alaska Department of Labor, they say in 2016 we lost over 6,000 jobs, and in 2017 we lost another 3,600 jobs. So the question I think we all have to ask ourselves is, does this bill create jobs? The answer is no. It does not create jobs. It imperils jobs, in fact. Another $800 million tax increase on an industry that is so vital to our state is a bad public policy. Thanks for your time. Please oppose this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Price. Are there any questions from the committee? I don't see any questions, so thanks for being here. And so with that, I don't see anybody else on my list here. Is there anybody in the room who would like to testify? Is there anybody else online who would like to testify? I'm not seeing any. I am going to, I think what we're going to do now is walk through the sectional. I'm going to go ahead and keep public testimony open. We have to go back to the floor at 6:30. But if somebody does sign up between now and later, we will if we have time available, we will take that testimony. So, with that, Ms. We're keeping public testimony open just until we go back to the floor at 6:30. If somebody else shows up and we have time, then we'll take them. So, with that, we have before us Ms. Elizabeth Diamond, Staff to Representative Seaton, and looks like you'll be walking us through the sectional. And then if there are specific questions from the committee, we'll take those. And so, Ms. Diamond, put yourself on the record.
For the record, my name is Elizabeth Diamond, Staff to Representative Seaton. And if it's the will of the committee, I'll walk you through the sectional now. Okay. So it's a short sectional for an oil tax bill, I guess. But Section 1 amends AS 4355011E, which is the tax rate. And it changes the production tax rate from 35% and lowers it to 25% as of July 1st, 2018. Plus any supplemental rates that are added by the next section. Section 2 establishes a supplemental 5% tax bracket at a production tax value of $40 per barrel, an additional supplemental 5% tax bracket at $50 per barrel, and a third supplemental tax bracket at $60 per barrel production tax value. The supplemental tax rates only apply to the amount above each price trigger value. And just for clarity, $60 production tax value per barrel is equal to approximately $100 ANS West for price per barrel. Sections 3 through 12 are mostly conforming sections to the various statutes that deal with the tax rates and payments. Section 3 amends AS 4355014B, which is the gas tax rate after 2022. Section 4 amends the monthly installment tax payment statute. And Section 5 amends the interest on underpayment of monthly installments. Section 6 also amends the interest on the overpayment of monthly installments. Section 7 and 8 amend their conforming amendments to the tax payments by private property owners. Section 9 amends the statute for the determination of production tax value to conform to the new tax rates. Section 10 amends the determination of carry forward annual loss after 2022. And on this section, there was a mistake in the first copy of the sectional. So just to be clear, I'll read this one. The one you have in front of you should read conforming amendment to incorporate the changes in Section 12. And Section 11 amends the statute for the determination of the GVR, the gross value reduction. And Section 12 conforms the determination of production tax value for oil after 2022. Section 13 is the repealer section. It repeals the two per barrel credits in AS 4355024I and J. And Sections 14 and 15 are transition language. And Section 16 provides for an immediate effective date of the transition language for regulatory authority for the Department of Revenue. And Section 17 provides for an effective date of July 1st, 2018 for all the other sections. So with that, if there's any questions of the committee.
Thank you, Ms. Diamond. And also available for questions, we have Jim Beckham from the Department of Natural Resources, as well as Ken Alper from the Department of Revenue, available for questions. And so are there any specific questions on the bill? Representative Pruitt?
Maybe not from Ms. Diamond, but maybe from Mr. Alper.
Mr. Alper, if you could come up to the table and put yourself on the record.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Ken Alper, Tax Division Director, Department of Revenue. I look forward to answering Representative Pruitt's questions.
Representative Pruitt?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually don't really necessarily want to get into the tax rates, the supplemental tax. I actually want to talk about some of the other stuff. Most of this bill is actually less about the paperwork is less about the tax rate, more about kind of the other changes. I want to ask on the monthly installment tax and some of the, and the underpayment of monthly installments. How is that being changed, or why is that? What is being done in here, and how does that correlate to the tax change itself?
Sure, and through the chair, Representative Pruitt, I'll talk sort of generally, and then there'll be a couple of specifics where I might need to refer to the bill itself. Okay. The I mentioned in our testimony, the administration's testimony Tuesday evening, that 21 out of 25 pages were conforming language. You're really dealing with a lot of it is in 4355020. That's the language around the monthly installment payments. So, and for the monthly installment payments, it's a calculation of how much you owe roughly for that month based on what your the percentage of your production tax value and the method of remitting that payment. So what's happening in the tax statutes themselves is there's a lot of new subletters. So, for example, in O11E, which is the main production tax, there's a new E3 and a new E4 that's getting written to make the changes of the bill with different time periods attached to those. And likewise, O11G, which is currently inactive but was the old ACES progressivity section, is sort of being brought back to life in this bill with the new supplemental tax brackets. So those sections need to make new pointing references so that when you're calculating these various things, you're measuring the tax per these new tax sections that are being created. So you see within the bill a lot of, it's a long section being repeated where a couple of pages will go by without even a single amendment, but then you'll see a date change or an E2 becomes an E3 or something like that. So that's the bulk of what we're talking about. The other portion of these is in 4355-160. That's the calculation of production tax value. Production tax value is the statutory version of net profits that's subject to the tax. And likewise, that's subject to the tax. What gets complicated is when you're dealing with the progressive section. So there's a big new section, which is H2, and that is, if Ms. Diamond will help me find the right page. There's a couple of places where a bunch of new text is actually being added. And what you're really, because with a progressive tax, you have to come up with a monthly value because that the tax rate itself is going to go up or down depending on that month's value. So you need a separate calculation. And what you're specifically specifying is because the lease expenditures themselves, the company's deductible costs, aren't broken out on a month-by-month basis. You have to specify that you take the yearly number and divide it by 12 to calculate the monthly number for the purpose of calculating the monthly value. And that required a couple pages of new text, specifically a new H3. And if we want to get a little bit deeper into the weeds, what's really going on is 160A is production tax value under, let's call it, current normal circumstances. 160H replaces A in 2022. Because what happened under current law, and what happens in 2022 under current law, is a change that was put in place by the AKLNG bill of 2014, where starting in that date, gas reverts to a gross tax of 13%, with the underlying idea being we might want to get our gas in kind because we, to put it through a pipeline that we own, and therefore we would own the gas and getting a royalty on our tax share both in kind. Because of that change, it required a bunch of rewrites to the production tax value. Specifically, now the costs related to both oil and gas are being deducted from the value for just oil. That's what H does. But H didn't contemplate progressivity because it was written after SB 21 and the ACES progressivity had gone away. So you've got about three pages here creating a new H2 to describe how to do that same exercise, only with progressivity built into the formula.
One follow-up.
Representative Pruitt.
Thank you. I figured with your experience, you could help kind of delineate some of the additional underlying black that's in here, and I appreciate that. I do. So in terms of some of the things that we see in here. Specifically, for instance, I want to look at the interest on overpayments. We're not changing anything. We're just conforming. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Pruitt, yes. The over and underpayment sections here are not the same as regular interest that you get for a delinquent tax, say you get audited or you're late with your taxes. This has to do with those monthly payment estimates, and to the extent that they're wrong, when you true that up in your final annual tax payment the next March, there's a certain interest calculation. And again, we're just re-referencing a few things. Now, there's a transition sections at the back of the bill that relate primarily to the early effective date. And the sponsor mentioned that earlier, other questions about it yesterday. The early effective date puts in place the possibility that come July 1st, the new forms might not be in place yet. And it allows these over and under payments to be made and these estimated payments to be made based on the old forms and the old formulas simply because that's what we have. The way we would interpret that authority given in those transition sections is we would seek to the extent possible to waive any underpayment interest if people were in good faith paying their monthly estimates based on the forms that they had in those early months after the taxes had changed.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And do we have any further questions? Representative Guerra?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Alper, if you could just help us go through what the actual tax rates are at various prices, not too many of them, but last year you wrote, based on the average cost for an average field on the North Slope, that for the GVR or so-called new fields that aren't owned by a legacy producer but the ones owned by new producers, those fields paid no production taxes until roughly oil hit about $70 a barrel. And then this year, obviously, the cost structure has changed, but am I recalling that roughly correctly?
Well, through the chair, Representative Garrett, you have that pretty well right. The $0 point probably went down by a few dollars just because of the cost structure. But what's going on here is you've got a gross value and adjusted by the gross value reduction and then the net value, which is now smaller for tax purposes. And it's the same 35% tax calculation. The big fork in the road here is that with legacy oil, the sliding scale per barrel credit specifically can't go below the floor, whereas the $5 new oil credit can go below the floor. And the math just works that $5 is less than the tax calculation. That $5 is more than or equal to the tax calculation up until about that $65, $70 range. So effectively, that GVR production would end up paying zero.
Through the chair.
Representative Garrett.
Then for, let's say, the legacy fields, the not new oil, the Prudhoe Bays, under last year's calculation based on what the average cost was on the North Slope, which has changed this year, it's lower now. But last year, the estimate was somewhere on the average legacy field would be paying the minimum 4% tax up to about $73, $74 a barrel. Does that sound right?
So, through the chair, Representative Garrett, it's important to keep a net percentage of what issues in mind and consistent here. So, this is a net profits tax, and the graphics that both we had in our presentation, the sponsors' original presentation, and also Mr. Ruggiero's presentation had a similar curve that showed sort of a jagged line going up to the right and then a steep tail up to the left with a bottom to that curve. That was an effective tax rate as a percentage of profits. The 4% rate that you describe is the gross tax, a percentage of gross, up until the so-called crossover point, the point where the 35% tax less the $8 credit is greater than the gross value times 4%. And it's hard to speak in mathematical terms without visual aids, but it's the best we could do here at this moment. So on those curves, there's a bottom to the curve. That bottom, which is an effective tax rate of 8-10% of profits, happens at that so-called crossover point. Everything below that, the oil would be paying at 4% of gross, which becomes, at low prices, actually a very high effective tax rate on net, until if prices get below a company's break-even, it could become a 100% tax or higher, but it's still a 4% gross tax. To the right of that number, as the net profits tax kicks in, the effective tax rate gradually creeps up with the stair steps of the per-barrel credit hitting the 35% rate at a price right around $160 a barrel.
Representative Kerr.
Just two more. So now, this year, you've estimated that the average cost, the break-even point for the average field on the North Slope is quite a bit lower than it was last year, lower cost structure on the North Slope. So for the legacy oil, let's call it legacy oil, but not the GVR oil, the legacy field oil, at what point do companies start, for the average field, at what point do companies start paying more than the 4% gross minimum tax, roughly $65 a barrel or so?
Yes, through the chair, Representative Guerra. This year, FY 19-18, where we are today, per the current forecast, $65 is that crossover point.
Representative Guerra.
For what people call new oil, but new oil includes Point Thompson, it includes Ugarit, it includes Nikaichuk, a lot of old oil, and then conversely, some of the new oil isn't new oil, but it's how people define it. And it's the GVR oil that some people call new oil. So for those fields, if you're not a legacy producer, you're a new producer, you start a new field, the point at which you pay a 0% production tax, that's all the way up to about $60 a barrel under your latest estimates. Is that correct?
Honestly, Mr. Chairman, it's somewhere between 60 and 70. I don't have that off the top of my head, but order of magnitude, that's right around where the current so-called crossover would be, where that the tax per barrel on GVR-eligible oil would go down to zero.
Finally, Mr.
President Kerr.
So if a new producer were to find a large find in ANOR, which we hope they do, so a new producer comes up, we hope new competitors come up, we hope ANOR gets developed. They find a big field up in ANOR, as many have advertised there are over the years. At $60 a barrel, assuming the current price costs on the North Slope, we would probably get no production taxes for 7 years if oil were at around $60-$65 a barrel from that new ANOR field.
So through the chair, Representative Guerra, there's a lot in play with ANOR here, but the costs are going to be higher for the simple reason that we're going to need to build a pipeline from there back to Prudhoe Bay. That's going to add a couple dollars a barrel. But if it's a large find, that shouldn't be that much per barrel. The tariffs from Point Thompson, for example, are quite high because the volumes are low, but if there were 100,000 barrels in Point Thompson, that pipeline would cost a lot less to operate. So setting aside those sorts of things, yes, for the first 3 to 7 years until the GVR expired, they would pay something fairly low. And then until the rest of their costs were recaptured in the years after that, they would pay at the minimum tax. And I talked a little bit about that in my own testimony Tuesday night.
Representative Guerra.
There is the 0% tax rate for these new fields, some of the new fields. So new producer, large field in Anora, they find it. Assuming the cost structure on the North Slope and not assuming a higher cost structure for Anwar, just assuming today's cost structure, up to what prices would they be paying no production taxes?
And it's the same as the others. Let's call it $65 or $70 a barrel. I just want to be careful to not say the zero tax rate. The tax rate is 35% minus a credit. Less the GVR, the effective tax rate is the term of art we like to say. What you're really saying, Representative Guerra, is the effective tax rate is zero below a certain point, and it would be for those early years of production.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. We do have two more people who have signed up to testify, so I am going to move back over to public testimony. We will be bringing the bill back before us tomorrow at 1:30. So we can continue with committee questions and discussion. So with that, we'll take these two, and then we'll head down to the floor for our evening floor session. So with that, Kevin Durling calling from Anchorage, at the Anchorage LIO, if you could put your name and your affiliation on the record and proceed with your two-minute testimony.
Good evening, representatives. This is Kevin Durling, 40-year Alaska resident. Am I close enough to the microphone here for you?
Yes, you sound great. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to share some comments on House Bill 411. I'd state for the record, I do not support passage of this bill. Alaska oil and gas tax regime has changed 7 times in the past 13 years. Recent tax changes from HB 247 and HB 111, took place over the last 18 months, I believe should be allowed to work. And I'll quote a statement per DOR PowerPoint from a couple days ago. Last year, the legislature set in motion a process to revisit the fair share issues with the intention to use this to inform the major next tax rewrite. Until the completion of the process set in motion last year, it may be premature to address a substantial tax revision at this time, unquote. With the above comment from the Alaska Department of Revenue, why is this bill being presented? Based on the last 2 years of improved throughput of the pipeline, increase in commodity prices, would it not be more effective to let the current tax system continue to work? This system has helped increase the throughput. Recent announcements by Alaska operators could add 400,000 barrels of new production if the state would allow it to come to market. That means new jobs and an estimated investment, $13 billion. New taxes could keep this investment from reaching Alaska and be sent to other areas of oil and gas regions in the U.S. or overseas. Are we in a race to see if we can be the least attractive basin for oil and gas development by continually changing the rules to cover our inability to live within our means? I do not support this passage of bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Durling. Are there any questions from the committee? I don't see any questions, so let's move on to Mr. Pete Flux, also at the Anchorage LIO. If you could put yourself on the record and proceed with your two-minute testimony.
Very good. Thank you very much. My name is Pete Fox. I certainly appreciate Mr. Durling's comments.
I'm sorry, Mr. Flux, if you could speak a little closer to the microphone.
Excellent. So for open, you know, disclosure and whatnot, I do work for one of the large oil companies here in the state. And the perspective I would like to pass on to the committee is simply the excitement that we hold within the company I work with for the rejuvenated efforts that we see in developing our resources. So the jobs that come, we watch on a daily basis so close with so much excitement of the production increasing, not decreasing, caps, that it is just a heartfelt desire to stabilize our tax structure where it doesn't yo-yo back and forth and back and forth, making it nearly impossible to make multi-billion dollar decisions that are impacted so dramatically with a varying tax climate. So I would emphatically support keeping our tax structure stable as is and allowing the decisions for multi-billion dollar projects to be based on a stable tax environment rather than one that dramatically changes from moment to moment where you have to add so much risk factor to the decision-making process that it just closes the door for so many opportunities that we can take advantage of.
Thank you, Mr. Flux. Does the committee have any questions? I'm not seeing any questions, so both you and Mr. Durling, thank you for coming into the Anchorage LIO at this late time. And so with that, I don't believe there's anybody else in the room or online who would like to testify. So with that, it is 6:25. I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony on HB 411. And if folks watching on TV would like to submit written testimony, they can do so by emailing us at housefinance@akleg.gov. Before we leave tonight, just want to let folks know we are going to set the amendment deadline for HB 411, again, as noted earlier, for Saturday at 5 p.m., that's April 14th, and if you could turn those into Brody Anderson. And so with that, I'm going to recess. I don't intend to come back after Flora tonight, but we're just going to recess just in case. So our next meeting will be scheduled for Friday, April 13th, tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. And at that meeting, we will hear bills previously heard. So with that, the time is currently 6:26, and we will be recessed.